Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
It's Friday. Christopher Amoruso.
And Deborah Wilson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Do you have anything special planned? Oh, wait. Let's give a shout out for today. In the studio, we have little Stella Blue.
Stella Blue!
Stella Blue. Yay! The lovely Daniela.
Daniela.
And we also have a special guest in studio that's sitting in with us today, all the way from Alabama.
That's
we
right, ladies
Dwight.
And gentlemen. It's Dwight! Yay! Dwight Norris from Blountsville, Alabama, ladies and gentlemen. But he's not just any regular guy. This gentleman has been into animal rescue and animal activism for over 30 years. He runs a 144-acre sanctuary in Alabama. He's got everything from baboons to ostriches to cats to dogs to koi to emus. And he's been rescuing for a very long time. He is very earth conscious. He's a vegetarian. And he's an all-around sweetheart.
We love animal rescue. So, Deborah, oh, man, I have to tell you, the complex where I live, a water main pipe broke.
Mm-hmm.
And can I tell you how rough it is?
I can smell how rough it is.
Ah, I knew you wouldn't have to go there.
where listen, else was I going to go?
It's so difficult. And you realize the simple things in life, just turning on a faucet and just getting some water and rinsing your hands off, it's unbelievable.
Water is life. Water is life.
Well, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to get by today because we have a great show today.
Mm-hmm.
We have pet fly giveaways.
Yay! Give a hand for pet flies.
And remember, we ran out of time last week, so we will give away last week's gift, which is the Pet Safari Pickup Pals, which is great. We'll tell you what those are later on.
We've also got our stupid human tricks, and I will address Miss Karen Watts. Hi, beautiful goddess. It's so glad. I hope you're listening again, Miss Karen. It's Deborah here, and we are going to address exactly what you said about stupid human tricks. We'll talk about that a little bit later, too. So we do listen to our listeners, as well as our listeners listening to us, and we'll address it on the air.
And this week's special guest is going to call in our big star, Mr. Joe Montaigne. We're going to be talking to Joe about his dogs and his cats. Joe's a good friend, and I got to tell you, one of the nicest guys. We talked about this last week also. Joe and Henry Winkler, just a couple of the nicest guys in Hollywood.
Gracious, gracious. Yeah. Real Hollywood gentlemen.
Real Hollywood. So what do you have planned for the 4th of July?
Well, we're going to be hanging out and doing a couple of barbecues. Dwight is here from Blountsville, Alabama, so we're going to hang out and go to some barbecues on Saturday and Sunday and just kind of chill and relax, you know, because he is basically the person who runs the entire sanctuary himself. He is the one on the premises 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So he's a hardworking man who finally, after 17 years, decided to take a little bit of vacation, came to visit me. And although he's still a little bit worried about the critters, I'm going to take his mind off that with some barbecuing. And again, vegan and vegetarian friendly barbecuing.
Vegan barbecues. And people. People, be responsible pet guardians this year. Do not leave your dogs, your cats, any kind of animal that you have. Do not leave them outside. Put them inside. Close the doors. Close the windows. Put the radio on. Distract them, because those loud booms, those
firecrackers and things
will
absolutely
drive them nutso.
Yes, and either pets have or like I said, companion animals actually have the tendency to either get riled up by it or be really, really afraid for it. Either way, it's traumatic, and it really is not good.
Well, you know, Stella Blue is my dog, Stella Blue, the Chinese crested. She's 12 and a half now, and she lost a hearing about a year and a half ago, maybe. And still, on the 4th of July, she still feels those thumps, and it's very nerve-wracking to him. And she shakes, and she'll sit in the corner and you know, so it's very, very effective and very stressful to the animals. So please, please, if you can be with them and you can, you know, cuddle with them at that time, you know, it's something that you need to do because
absolutely,
it's very stressful. Okay, Deborah,
are you going to do? Is that your stupid human trick?
No, my stupid human trick. I'm gonna.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here we are back with our stupid human tricks. And for those of you that didn't hear this segment, stupid human tricks is basically about not so much about David Letterman's animal, you know, stupid animal tricks. It's more about the stupid things that human beings will do the basically stupid things that human beings will do to other sentient beings, whether they be companion animals, someone else's animals, or things that they do where they're just not thinking. And when you're not thinking, that makes you stupid.
Well, the basic thing here is that it comes down to common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are common sense things. Okay, so here's one that really bugs me, and I see it all the time. As a matter of fact, I saw it yesterday again. All right. Pets riding in cars can be dangerous, and pets riding in the back of the pickup trucks, which is the all-American picture. You know, you got the truck driving down the dirt road with the pickup truck with the dog in the back. Okay, it's estimated that 100,000 dogs die every year from riding in the back of pickup trucks.
Wow, that's okay? Astronomical.
That's outstanding. Outstanding, and it's just unbelievable, okay? And here's some of the reasons why. In the back of the pickup trucks, they either just fly out, they are in an accident, they fall out accidentally or slide with the back door that's open at the tailgate, people that leave the tailgates open. Dogs have gotten lost or killed when they're excited in the pickup truck. The owners don't even realize that they're missing. They hit a hard bump, and the pet just goes flying out the back.
Mm.
I mean, come on.
I'm having a hard time even visualizing that. That's really upsetting.
Okay, well, I have to tell you something. Now, this is one of the reasons why, and this has stood in my head for years. When I first moved to Los Angeles, I'm here maybe 22 years now, I was on Melrose Avenue, and I was at a very famous restaurant was there on the corner, and Donald Sutherland had just come out of the restaurant, and he caught my attention because he's tall, you know, he's got the white hair and stuff, so I happened to be looking in his direction, and right in front of Donald Sutherland was a fellow in one of those big black, you know, Ford trucks with the double wheels in the back and stuff. And he had his dog in the back of the bed of the truck. And he took off and the dog fell out and he ran over his own dog. And the dog was on a leash. So the dog actually had enough leadway on the leash and he ran over the dog. And I know Donald Sutherland witnessed the whole thing. I saw it. It was horrifying.
It's traumatic.
So that stayed with me for a long time. And every time I see a dog sitting in the back of a pickup truck, and what people don't realize too is when you have your dog in the back of a pickup truck, and I'm sure you've seen it before on the freeways, you're driving on the freeway and you see someone with their dog in the back. There's also the wind and the dirt and debris that are flying in the back there, and the oils and the soot and the pollution. It affects them. And you got to realize that, you know, dogs have a way more stronger sense of smell. And
sense of hearing.
Hearing.
And eyesight, which is why even believe it or not, it sounds crazy, but you shouldn't let your dog out of the window with their head sticking out of the window. It looks cute if you've got them in the front seat or even the back seat and you're like, okay, well, it's kind of safe because they can't fall out. That's fine too, but it really does affect their eyesight. They need to be covered the same way that you would need to be covered.
Yeah.
So, and there's a company that makes what they call doggles, which are like goggles for dogs called doggles. So, Google search doggles.
Yeah.
And then say that 10 times fast. Google search doggles.
Well, here's the good thing about my stupid human trick. There are several local law enforcement working to pass these laws that will restrict pets from riding in the back of pickup truck beds. So even without the law, it makes sense to protect something many people consider part of their families. Keeping your pet healthy isn't just the right thing. It's the law. So remember that.
I like that. And not only that, but losing a companion, the whole family becomes a victim. You know what I'm saying? It'd be different if it were a singular thing. But when you have a companion that you love and that companion gets lost in a traumatic way, you're traumatized. Everyone who loved that companion is traumatized. Every child who loved their companion is traumatized. It's traumatizing. So remember, this is about creating the proper investment instead of the traumatic investment.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, that was my stupid human trick. So let's hear for the animals. And let's hear it for the humans.
Well, for the humans that do that.
Yeah.
For the humans that do that. Plus, like I said, we've also, what about next week? We've always got to do a little plug for next week. Who are we having on next week's show? Our celebrity guest?
Next week, our celebrity guest is Steve Valentine. Many of you will remember Steve from his role as Nigel on Crossing Jordan, which Crossing Jordan ran for 7 or 8 seasons.
Yeah.
And now he plays the lead singer of a rock band called Iron Weasel on I'm in the Band.
And that's right, on Disney XD.
Yeah, and I took the lovely Daniela. We went to the taping of I'm in the Band this week, and She was really excited. She got to take a picture with Iron Weasel
and the whole
it's
cast.
It's such a funny show. I mean, people, you know what? If, especially if you're into music and you grew up in the 80s, basically what Iron Weasel is a band that had a hit song in the 80s. They lost their guitar player and they end up putting this 16-year-old in the band as a guitar player. So it's a Disney show, mm-hmm. but it shows it should definitely be a network series.
It rocks out.
It's so funny.
It rocks
it's
out.
So
right now it's on Disney XD, but before you know it, who knows? Maybe ABC Family, because ABC is Disney. ABC Family, and before you know it, maybe ABC.
Yeah. So we got a little time before we got to break. Debbie, you want to tell them what the Pet Flies giveaway is this week?
Yes. Let me tell you about the
and
Pet
wait,
Flies
wait, hold
giveaway.
On. Let's give out the numbers, too. The phone number to call in, 1-866-826-1340.
That's area code 866-826-1340.
Yeah, and then also, if you have any questions you'd like to text to us, the area code 310-245-2073.
That's area code 310-245-2073. You know what? Let's tell them when we come back.
We can do that.
Yeah.
You know, Petflies is such a great company. They're another one that I love. They're always coming up with great new ideas. And, you know, let's give a shout out to Tammy Arnett and Petflies people
Woo-hoo!
There for donating these lovely gifts.
Thank you for showing us the love.
Okay, we'll be back. And this is All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Woo!
Hey, boy, how you doing? What am I doing? I'm creating your own life book. It's a website that's just for you. Remember that picture I took of you pulling off Lisa's bathing suit? Yeah, I know, me too. I'm putting that awesome picture on your lifebook page. We'll see what comments we get. And that great video we took of you standing on the table with your head inside the turkey? That's definitely going on there. No, it's easy. It only took me 2 minutes to set up your page. I chose a great theme, and I can connect with millions of other pet parents. I can also create a memorial lifebook. No, not for Grandma. But we can make one for Fluffy, remember her? And we can even put links to our favorite pet charity. And friends can make donations. People can create their own life book for their pets by going to PetLifeRadio.LivingYearsPets.com. Or they can sign up on the Pet Life Radio homepage. Where's Lisa? She's outside by the pool. Hey, come back here! Create your own life book for your pet. PetLifeRadio.LivingYearsPets.com.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step-by-step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We are back. Christopher Amoruso.
And Deborah Wilson.
All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Hey, Deborah, you know what?
What?
I got some exciting news today.
Tell me.
We have a couple of new markets that we're on. We're in Providence, Rhode Island now.
Nice.
And Boston, Massachusetts.
In Boston.
Park the car by Harvard Yard.
Hey. Well, you know what's funny? People always ask me, where are you from, Boston? And the thing is like my accent has gone from Long Island, New York to L.A. kind of mixed together. So it kind of becomes like mushed together and people are like, Boston, right? I'm like,
Boston.
Yeah,
Boston,
yeah.
Right?
Long Island.
You're from Long Island.
Long Island.
Long Island, New York.
You want a cup of coffee?
Coffee. That's what we do say, that coffee.
You're going to have some coffee and cake?
Coffee. All right, let's get to our Pet Flies trivia giveaway because I can't wait to get to my stupid human trick.
Right. 1-866-826-1340 is the number to call in if you have the answers. You need to get the answers.
Yes, that's 866-826-1340.
And you tell him, Deborah, what is the prize we have to give away today?
Oh, again, we are so grateful to Pet Flies. Here's what we've got. We were supposed to give it away last week and didn't have time because we had such an amazing, fun-filled, packed show. So we have the Urban Safari Pickup Pals, and it's a waste bag holder that is designed like a little animal. It's designed like a little African animal. It could be a zebra. It could be a lion. It's really, really cute. They have giraffes as well and leopards. And what's nice about it has Velcro handles so that you stuff the bag inside the little animal and then use the Velcro handles either on your dog's collar or your dog's leash. And you just pull the bag out right from there. It's a great, fun little thing. Not only that, but let's say, for example, you have a little kitty cat and you want to stuff it full of nip. There you go. It serves a dual purpose. Everything at Pet Flies is so pet friendly. You're going to really love it. So that's what we have for our giveaway. And like I said, even if you don't have a dog and want to pick up poop and you have a cat, stuff it full of nip. Get it for your cat. Call in now, and here is what we're going to do. We're going to do animal ditties all over again. Now, we did have a winner last week who unfortunately was not on the line, so we're going to repeat it. We're going to give you actually, which is now, instead of three questions, we're going to actually give you two because this one already had an answer. We've already given it to you. Some of you may even looked it up last week and decided to call in but didn't get in time. So we're going to give it to you again along with two others. Now, in animal ditties, all you have to do is name the song. We're going to give you a hint. We're going to even tell you the rock band, and you have to name the ditty we're going to talk about with the animal name in it. So they're all songs with animal names in it. So here we go. Number one, and this is what we did. We're going to give you three of them, and to win this Pet Flies giveaway, you have to get all three. Now, here's question number one. Although the 70s rock group America had a name, this animal doesn't have one in the title. So what's an America song from the rock group of the 70s that has an animal in the name? Ooh, I'll give it to you again. Horshack. Okay, so although the 70s rock group America has a name, this animal doesn't have one in the title. What is the name of the song? Now, number two. The Beastie Boys sang about this alcohol named after a primate. What's the name of that song? Horshack. The Beastie Boys sang about this alcohol named after a primate. So what is that song? And last but not least, this one is probably my favorite song of all time. Elton John remembers when rock was young. He and Susie had so much fun. But do you remember the title? Okay, last time again. Elton John remembers when rock was young. He and Susie had so much fun. But do you remember the title? So there you go. One song by America, another song by the Beastie Boys, and the third and final song by Elton John. They all have animals in the title, and that's how Animal Ditties goes.
You know, the last one that you gave, it's funny because, as you know, or some people don't know, I grew up in a rock band with my three brothers, and that was one of the first songs that I learned, and my grandmother used to just say, please play that.
Really?
Yeah, and that was like the favorite song, so...
How sweet.
Little memories of grandma.
How sweet. Okay, so while we're getting callers in, I'm going to tell you my stupid human trick. But first, I want to address what Miss Karen Watts has sent to us. And thank you, Karen, for listening, number one. We want to thank you for calling in. We want to thank you for listening. And we want to thank you responding and even offering a suggestion. But here's why we call it stupid human tricks, because it really is about what stupid humans do. Those are their tricks. And we don't, again, we're not trying to make it like David Letterman. It's not supposed to be light and cute. Sometimes it can be, but the whole point is to turn the idea of the title Stupid Human Tricks on its ear and be different. Let David Letterman handle the light and cute. We're trying to handle something that's a little bit dark, but still something that can be brought to the attention like Chris did. Now, the man Russo, as I like to call him, not only talked about it, but he also gave a lot of really important and pertinent information. So I'm hoping that not only will you go, yeah, I would never do that, or if I notice someone doing it, I might make a suggestion, but I'm also giving information away at the same time based on the wisdom and the research of Mr. Christopher Amoruso.
Can I give you a little intro for yours?
Sure. Okay, no, we're going to save that to the end because we've got something special today. Not at all. Not. Okay. Don't you dare. We've got something special today that's going to really flip this show to the next level, and we can't wait to share it for you. So you do not want to miss the end of today's show. You do not. Okay. So my stupid human trick, and it's not so much a dark one, but it's just a pet peeve. Oh, did I actually say pet peeve? Thank
pet
you.
Peeve.
I'm so punny. There we go. Okay. I have been seeing on the internet, and people have been giving me emails of pet guardians who are shaving their animals, dyeing their animals with hair dye to make them look like other animals or things. And at first when I saw that, I was a bit amused, but then my mind kept going to, well, why does the animal have to do that or look like that for a human's amusement? Granted, some of them are beautiful. They almost look like topiary if you're carving bushes. But the amount of dye that has to be used, cutting them to look like that, I just think it's a bit much. I think it's stupid because it really is for human amusement. Now, it's okay if you dye the tip of your dog's hair because it's cute. But it's a whole other thing when the animal is designed to look like another animal, basically for human amusement. The dog doesn't care. And I know that people are probably going to call in or probably going to email or text Chris saying, well, that doesn't hurt the dog. It doesn't injure the dog. But that's not my issue. It's not about whether it hurts or injures this companion. It's about how stupid this animal looks, basically, for our own amusement. You know, and I personally don't want to see another animal look like that for a human amusement because it's so cool to put on the internet and share in an email. I'm sick of it. That's my thing. And again, very personal for me, very personal for me. I like to see that animal look exactly the way God created it, quite frankly.
Well, okay. Well, here's my
Ooh, counterpoint. I like that. I like that point and counterpoint.
You know, and as much as an animal rights activist I am, it just, for some reason, it didn't bother me as much because I watched, actually, they had some news program on, and I was showing them doing it. And the dogs, I mean, it's just basically like them getting a haircut and blow-dried and just getting groomed and stuff. And
that's great, but again, not my issue. My issue is the fact that they're made to be amusement for human beings. That's all.
I guess so.
That's me. That's just my little thing. Not a big deal. Just a little thing. Tiny little thing.
But but you know what? It's pretty awesome though when you look at some of the
They work. Are. They're fantastic.
I mean, they're artists that are actually doing these things, and they're just like, the work is incredible.
There's one I saw that was a dog that looked like a lion, and I couldn't tell that it wasn't a lion. It looked like a stuffed lion.
But to hear you talking about it.
Because they're amusing and they're fascinating. I just think that, you know, and again, I'm not saying that they're not amusing and they're not fascinating and they're not beautiful. I just think it, because it's for human amusement, it's for humans to get it. It's like, I just don't want to do that to a companion animal or any animal for the amusement of myself. That's all. I think, and like I said, I've seen them before, and I saw one that was done up like a zebra with or rather done up like a lion with a zebra biting its back. So this dog had so much fur. I don't know what it was, but it had so much fur that it was able to, the owner was able to, or the companion, the guardian, took it someplace where it became like a work of art. Like I said, it's almost like topiary in a bush. And it made it look like there was a zebra actually attacking the back of a lion, which is touche on nature. But still, it's like, whatever. That's just me. Little tiny.
I wonder, our in-house guest today, Dwight, did you ever think about, dyeing one of your monkeys that you watch?
Dwight says no, he never has, because Dwight's a good man. Good man.
Okay, we have on line one, we have Chi. I guess that's a proper name. C-H-I-E-Chi on line one. So wait, I think we can cut this before commercial break. Chi, are you there?
I am here.
Can I call you Chi a pet?
That's hysterical. Actually, you know what? It's Chip. I think your engineer screwed up and misspelled my name. But, okay. You know, engineers are like that.
All right, Chip. So we
not have, our engineer. Hey, I'm going to have to defend him.
All right, let's try and get these answers before the commercial.
All right, let's get our answers. So what's the answer for number one? Although the 70s rock group America has a name, this animal doesn't have one in the title.
'Cause I've been to a desert on a horse with no name.
We didn't ask for any singing, Chip. We just asked for the answer. Thank
yes,
you.
This isn't America's Got Talent, but thank you anyway. All right, and number two. The Beastie Boys sang about this alcohol named after a primate.
Could that be Brass Monkey?
Oh, someone's a drinking, thinking man.
One more.
Elton John remembers when Rock was young. He and Susie had so much fun, but do you remember the title?
Holding Hands and Skimming Stones had an old something and a place of my own had an old... Anyway, it was Crocodile Rock, if I remember correctly.
Chip, Crocodiles Rock, but so do you.
I love how we have to give the whole verse.
No, you guys rock. You guys rock.
No, awesome. Chip, you rock.
Chip, thanks so
much.
Hey, stay on the line and we'll get your information. We'll send you out the Pet Flies Safari pickup.
Thank you. Have an oil-free weekend.
Thank you.
Hey, you know what I wanted to tell you, Deborah?
What?
Going back to the Pet Flies giveaways, the Safari pickup pals, now that I have no water, running water in my place, mm-hmm. and they're good for humans too.
Yeah, if you can make the bag big enough.
Chip was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was good, Chip.
I bet you he's a fun guy at barbecues.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hey, I have an idea. We can do something for 4th of July weekend.
What?
How about we go out to the Gulf and we kind of take some of the BP reps and we set them on fire?
That's cruel. And that's mean. But I like it.
Yeah.
I'm getting my ticket right now. $650 billion a day in oil and they can't spend just $250,000.
Yes. All right.
Oh, well.
Guess what? We're going to break. When we come back, Joe Mantegna from Criminal Minds. Christopher Amoruso.
And Deborah Wilson.
All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Hey, love to read, but just never seem to have enough time to sit in one place long enough? For all of us on-the-go people, Audible has the answer. Best-selling audiobooks for your iPod or MP3 player. For Pet Life Radio listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. Choose from hundreds of today's bestsellers, including awesome pet books such as Bad Dogs Have More Fun by Marley and Me author John Grogan, Love That Cat by Ingrid Newkirk, It's Okay to Miss the Bed on the First Jump, and Other Life Lessons I Learned from Dogs by Seinfeld's John O'Hurley, and many, many more. To download your free audiobook today, go to audiblepodcast.com/pettalk, P-E-T-T-A-L-K. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/pettalk for your free audiobook.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at petplanetmagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We are back. Christopher Amoruso.
And Deborah Wilson.
All Paws. Pet Talk Radio. Oh, Deborah, I'm so excited.
No, you've actually been excited since last week.
Well, I get excited, yeah. You know, when something good happens, it keeps me going. It's that drive. It's that L.A. drive to, look forward to something, so... Here it is, our fourth week, and we have a huge star on the phone with us and a special guest, one of my dear friends, the nicest guy in Hollywood, Mr. Joe Mantegna.
Oh, he deserves that. Come on, give it up. He deserves the clap.
Hey.
Not that clap. He deserves
Chris, how you
clap.
Doing, pal?
Hey, Joe. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for the great intro. That made my week.
You deserve nothing better, Joe. Wow.
Well, thanks, pal.
I'm just so excited about you and your career. Now, first thing I have to start off, and I always say this to you, and this is one of the first things I said to you when I met you. Now, by the way, Deborah, I'm going to tell you actually how I met Joe Mantegna. Okay, Joe and his wife Arlene had opened up a restaurant here in Burbank, California, called Taste Chicago, which is it's Chicago style pizza and Italian food. And
trust me, I know. I've had it, and it's great.
And I was sitting there. I went one night. It was a hot summer night, and I showed up there, and I had little Stella Blue with me, my little Chinese crested. And I sat on the patio out front, and there was Joe, and all these celebrities were out there just kind of hanging out and just feeling the vibe. And Joe personally walked up to me and asked me if I wanted a bowl of water and maybe something to eat for Stella Blue.
Talk about a gracious human being.
Yeah. That's how it started. And I said to Joe, what was my first thing? Hey, Joe, do you have any pets? I'd love to do some photographs of you. And then I had given you a copy of my book, and he's looking, and he's like, hey, that's my friend. Those are my friends. And it was just great. And then we totally hit it off from there.
And that's how Hollywood works, ladies and gentlemen.
That is how Hollywood works.
And I'll tell you how else Hollywood works. I actually am associated to you, Mr. Mantegna, through like, there's always that degree of separation, like with Kevin Bacon. You actually did a film with a friend of mine who was one of the producers and actors. You did The House That Jack Built.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yes, sure, and I were on the red carpet, and someone took pictures of us together. I weren't standing directly together, but we were standing together. So I am associated to you that way. And, of course, I've met you a number of times because you also hosted an event of Christopher Amoruso's where he had these amazing paintings that he was actually selling, or not really selling, but auctioning off for a channel, for an animal rights organization, and you were there as well, so gracious hosting it.
Yes.
And prior to that, many years ago, I got a chance to see you do a play, and you so wonderfully came in at the last minute and did it, and it was a play about an AA meeting. Do you remember that?
All right, yeah. Yeah, a good friend of mine, Bobby Moresco, his theater. I'm trying to think of the title of the play now. But, you know, that's like walking the tightrope sometime when a friend calls you and say, hey, we'd love you to come in and, you know, do this part in a play. You've got like 48 hours to learn it and a little monologue and whatever. But it was great. I had a good time. I wound up doing it a couple times. But that's life as an actor.
Oh, let me just tell you, I'm stalking you, Joe. I'm stalking you, Joe.
So, Joe.
That's all right. At my age, I appreciate any stalkers I can get. You know what I mean?
Now, Joe, I have photographed you several times with your pets, and you're a pet guardian to two beautiful dogs, Chooch and Roxy. And now I recently photographed you for the cover of Cat Fancy magazine. You have two beautiful cats, right? It was two.
Well, you know, we've got three dogs and three cats. We've moved up. You know, we added a dog. We added a Yorkie named Holly, and then when my daughter was in France, she came back with when my daughter G is away for more than 2 weeks, there's a good chance she's going to come back with an animal. So she came back from Paris with a beautiful Siamese named Juliet. So we're officially outnumbered here now with the three dogs and the three cats. But you photographed most of the dogs and most of the cats, and we'll get to the other cat and dog, I'm sure.
Yeah, and your dog, Roxy, was named after your uncle, Roxy, who owns the Rainbow.
Well, my uncle Mario, who actually, yes, is one of the owners of the Rainbow and the Whiskey A Go-Go and the Roxy, exactly. And so, because we call the dog Roxy Rainbow, kind of named after the club on Sunset. So, yeah. And ironically, you know, we just moved into another house up in the hills here, and the next door neighbor has a dog named Roxy. So it gets a little confusing when we hear people calling for Roxy, but it's great.
Now, Joe, I mean, you know, I was saying at the very beginning when we first started talking to you. So, one of my favorite movies that you were in may not be one of your favorites, but you did a movie called Airheads, which was the funniest movie to me still. And it's actually, it's going on to like what Steve Valentine has done with the 80s rock bands,
yeah,
and just playing on that whole, the whole spoof of the music industry. And a lot of big stars came out of that movie.
Steve Buscemi, Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, yeah, Chris Farley. Yeah, it was... It's become like a cult film. It's certainly a cult classic, especially about that heavy metal set and the people who, the rock and rollers. And so, it was a lot of fun. I remember doing that very well. God, it's probably about 10 years ago now, though.
Yeah, but
more.
You're also still doing Fat Tony on The Simpsons, and I know people will recognize that voice, and for every Simpsons aficionado like myself, you are Fat Tony on The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been doing it for now 18 years. It's my longest-running character, and I've actually got an episode coming up I have to record a new episode of Fat Tony in about a week from now. And,
nice.
Yeah, they tell me that's the longest-running guest character they've had now. I've done the most episodes, I guess. So for some reason, Fat Tony seems to resonate with the public. So I'm happy to do it.
And let's not forget your critically acclaimed role as Dean Martin in the Rat Pack.
Yeah, I love doing that. That was a real labor of love in the sense that Dean was somebody I've just admired all my life. And to get the opportunity to portray him in a film was it was scary, but just thrilling. So I think the film came out very well. I'm very happy with it, that'll go down as one of my favorite roles ever, without question.
I have a question. How long have you been an animal lover? Because a lot of times people think, well, a celebrity, when they get rich, they get famous, they get their pets. Their pets are always photographed with them. But did you grow up with companions like that?
You know what's funny is I didn't grow up a lot with like various pets because I never lived in a house. My father never owned a home, so we're always in rented apartments. So it kind of was restricted as to what kind of pets we could have. So to tell you the truth, I always grew up with like parakeets. I mean, that was the pet of choice when you lived in apartments back then. But when my wife and I got together, and I'm talking, we've been together a long time. We've been together since the 60s. We discovered we both had a real liking for cats, and we wound up adopting a couple cats that were just, they were strays that a friend had had and was taking care of, and he was starting to neglect them, and we took him in, and they lived with us for a long time, and that's when we realized, it was something probably we both missed in our childhood, because my wife didn't have pets as a young child either. So we really gravitated toward cats. And so we always had cats around and, adopted, numerous cats over the years. And then when we had children of our own, especially our youngest daughter, Gia, was such an animal lover. I mean, to the point where she encouraged one of her friends to become a veterinarian, because Gia knew it wasn't in her. Once she was exposed to it, she saw what a real veterinarian has to do and just couldn't handle that aspect of it. But the friend that she talked into going on a field trip to the veterinary clinic to this day is studying veterinary science at Cornell University. So Gia has always been into pets, and she was such a dog lover that we knew we'd have to relent, and these two cat people would often expand our horizons and get into dogs as well. And so we did, and that's why today we we have a mini menagerie here.
And for those of you who don't know, Joe's daughter Gia is also an actress who was in the big Christmas time movie called Unaccompanied Minors, and she also has her own show coming out on Nickelodeon, right?
Yeah, she's got a series coming out called Gigantic, which starts in the fall, that she did with Grace Gummer, who's Meryl Streep's daughter. They've shot 18 episodes of that, and that should be a lot of fun. And I think Gia looks like she's on her way to Barcelona to do a film. She just got that a few days ago, and so she's going to be spending the summer in Spain. So my daughter's living the life that I had hoped to live at her age, but it's great. She deserves it. She's worked very hard and very talented, and so it's all good.
Now, you deserve it as well.
Now, was that something?
Well,
that you
I'd like to think so. I've been at it a long time. This is my 42nd year in professional show business. So I put in my time, if nothing else.
Yes, you have. And now you're starring on Criminal Minds, which is another brilliant show that's been standing the test of time. And
Criminal Minds has been great. I mean, I'm entering my the show's entering its sixth season. It'll be my fourth season, and it's just a wonderful group of people. Very smart, intelligent, talented people. We take it very seriously. The show. I just got back from Europe. You know, we were traveling, doing publicity throughout France and Monte Carlo and London. And the show is hugely popular in Europe. It's the number one show in France right now. And it's just nice to feel that, you know, all the hard work seems to be paying off, even internationally, that people appreciate, you know, what we're trying to do. And so I'm very happy to be on it.
That's nice. And Joe, I had an experience with you on the set of Criminal Minds where I came down and I actually went into the morgue with you and jumped on a slab.
We did.
we'll all get there someday.
Yeah, Chris, as I recall.
You know what's funny about that, Joe, is I posted that picture up and I wrote, listen, I go, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing and I couldn't pass it up. And then actually someone wrote back and goes, actually, it's not a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You will be there again one day.
Yes, this is true. It's a preview of perhaps things to come in everyone's life. But, it was pretty cool. And it was, I'm not just saying this because I'm on the show with you, but you are and always have been my favorite photographer. You know, you've done... always been my photographer of choice. You know, you did my cover shot when I was on Smoke Magazine and quite a few other publications. So, I mean, you besides being a dear friend, you are great at what you do, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Joe. How about a hand for myself?
There you go.
Hey, Joe, we have a question that someone just texted in. They want to know, did you encourage your daughter to get into acting, or was this something that they did, what she did by herself?
Yeah, you know, I did not encourage her, and not that I was against it. It's just that I'm a firm believer of that you have to find your own path in life, and that it would be wrong to outwardly influence anybody, you know. Now, obviously, she was exposed to it all her life. She's been around it, so it had no mystique to her, and I think she gravitated toward it just naturally. But, you know, you have to back it up. You have to have the talent. You have to have the willpower, the desire. It takes a lot of things to ultimately make it in this business. So all I did was I was supportive once she expressed an interest for it, but I never pushed her or encouraged her, but I never discouraged her either. I always said, look, my parents, for me to become an actor was such an anomaly. I mean, from my background, for me to become an actor, I might as well have said I was going to become a Martian for a living. But I did because that's all I ever really wanted to do once I was exposed to it. And I think she felt the same way. Once she got exposed to it, something in her said, I really love this. I really want to do this. So my feeling was, well, go ahead. In a way, it's going to be a little harder for you because the expectations are going to be high because people are going to say, well, gee, your dad's a professional actor. Let's see what you got, you know. And they don't give you these jobs for free. I mean, you've got to back it up. And so... once I saw how much talent she really had, I was confident that if she really applies herself, I think she has a place in this business. So, to answer the question, no, I didn't encourage her or discourage her, but I'm certainly supportive of her, regardless of what choices she makes. As I have of my other daughter, Mia, who has an interest in makeup and you know, would like to maybe do something in the makeup field.
Yes, we love Mia. Mia's adorable, and she has found. A thing that a passion she really loves, Deborah, and it's the makeup. And you know, a makeup artist that works with me all the time, she was very impressed with a few of her jobs. And
oh, that's right,
we had the opportunity to put
them
together.
Mia, she's a child with autism. She's not really a child now; she's a young woman. But because of that, it handicaps her in some ways. But in some ways, it's almost like gives her some kind of extra abilities and focus and certain things that she's very into, and like the world of makeup is part of it. So, and as are the cats. Ironically enough, Mia has a very strong bond with the cats, and I really feel that it has something to do with the autism, because people with autism, there is almost a cat-like quality that they possess, and I think the cats sense it in her and she senses it in them.
Wow.
What a special connection. Animals always have a special connection with humans, and it's really great when we gravitate towards that special connection and really accept it and embrace it. Wonders and miracles take place when that connection happens.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I say, Joe, that both of your daughters and your family, your wife, everybody is just, they're so pleasant. I mean, you know, Gia's doing her acting thing now, but she's like you. You'll meet her for the first time. She's just a pleasure to be around. And You know, well, like I said, there's two people in Hollywood that really are like the nicest people in Hollywood, and that's you and Henry Winkler.
Well, thank you, Chris. That's a compliment, because I know Henry, and he is a sweetheart. And I mean, my feeling is, look, we all do what we do in life. And I know I'm in a very public profession, but that doesn't make what I do any more important or give me any more rights to be anything but just a a person just like anybody else. So. I just try to live my life. I mean, talking about Dean Martin, that's the way I kind of want to live my life. Just his attitude was always like, hey, let's take it nice and easy. You know, let's not make it any more difficult than we need to. And that's kind of how I feel. I feel blessed. You know, I'm sitting here right now on my deck of my house, and I'm looking out at the hills, and I'm thinking, gee, you know, what did I do right to deserve all this in life? So, I mean, you want to just share it, pass it around, and treat people as you hope they're going to treat you, and that's it. We're only on this planet so long, and there's, you know, life's too short to ruin it by being a jerk, you know, if you can help.
Yeah. Amen, hallelujah. It's not even Sunday, and I'm right there with you. Woo, Lord, yes, amen, hallelujah, yes,
there you go.
And you know, Joe and I have another passion that we share is the passion for old cars. And we hit just about every car show, and we put our cars in the shows together, and we
right. I just got some great photos from George Barris. You know, you and I, you know, we're both out at the Barris's custom car show just a few months ago. I was lucky enough to be the grand marshal this year, and George just sent over some great photos, and I know you and your lovely fiance are in there. You know. Some of the photos with me, and it's great.
You know what's funny about we love George. I mean, George is just like, he's just so amazing. And the funny thing about him is he's all about photographs, and he will just take pictures and go out of his way to print them up and to personally, individually mail photos to every person.
Yes, yes.
And
he does do
you know,
that.
Yeah, he loves that. It's great.
And he was my hero. I tell you, when I was a teenager, he was my hero. He was, you know, I was living in Chicago growing up, and I was into cars, you know, model cars, just like all the kids were. And George Barris was this mythical figure out in California. And the fact that now I live just a few blocks away from his shop and know him so well as you do, it's another one of those dream come true things where one of your heroes as a child you grow up to have a connection with later in life.
Yeah. And Joe, tell us just really quick, because you had your car since you were 18 or 16.
No, 19. I bought it in, I bought the car in 1967. I was in junior college. It was a 1947 Buick. It was 20 years old when I bought it. And I just saw a for sale sign on it in the town. I was living in this little town, Cicero, Illinois. I was going to junior college. I bought it for like $225, I think. And for some reason, I mean, I'm crazy that way. I kept the car. I kept it in a garage. A friend let me store it in his garage in Indiana for, it was actually a barn in Indiana for over 20 years. Because I had no money, couldn't really fix the car up after, and I drove it for about 5-6 years. I was in a band back then in the 60s. And then as my career got going and I started doing well out here in California, 25 years later, my friend calls me saying he was going to move from this a rural area in Indiana and says, what do you want to do with the car? And I realized the car had been sitting in his barn all these years. I says, you know what? It would be wrong of me not to follow through. So put it on a flatbed and send it out to California, which he did. And it was a little frightening when it arrived because it needed so much work. I literally had to restore it from the ground up. But I did. And so I have one of those rare kind of like instances where I still own my very first car that I've owned, you know, now for over 40 years, and it
that
looks
story,
beautiful. It's totally restored, and it's won awards at car shows.
That story has quite a romantic feel to it.
Well, you know, it does, because, you know, my wife and I, we've been married for over 30 years now, and she remembers, I do, we both remember dating in the car.
Wow, that's a story I'd like to hear about at another time.
Yeah, there you go.
And you know, Deborah, the car's so beautiful, and it's so big, and he restored it. And like one of the last car shows, like Joe and I, and we just sat in the car. I was in the back seat. I felt like I was in a living room. We just sat there and just talked, and it was like a Great Dane. And the amusing thing was watching the people come up, you know, fans of Joe's coming up to the window. It was like a surf through window, you know, and it kept coming up. And, you know, we were having a blast that day. It was just really fun.
Ah, yes, ladies and gentlemen, when a car was a car.
Joe, we have to thank you for coming onto the show and taking time out from your busy schedule. I know you're on break right now, and then you're going back to Criminal Minds.
Yeah, we start shooting in about 10 days, and we'll start our season 6. But it's been a great hiatus. Like I said, we got to do some traveling, and got to host my ninth year with the National Memorial Day concert this past Memorial Day in Washington, which was a great event, and travel in Europe with the family and the hometown of Chicago. So I've had an eventful summer so far, but look forward to getting back on the show in about 2 weeks now.
Yeah, and Joe actually invited myself and the lovely Daniela because we're going to go. One of you said the first episodes has got Tim Curry. He's going to be guest starring on.
Yes, exactly. Because we finished last season with kind of a cliffhanger with Tim, and so we're going to be picking up where we left off. So I'll look forward to seeing you and Danielle joining me in about 10 days or so.
Rocky Horror Picture Show, Sweet Transvestite.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's one of my heroes. Great actor.
Joe, thank you so much, and let's, you know, maybe we'll hook up this weekend because it's just one of those things, you know, just call up, hey, Joe, let's meet over at the restaurant, and you just go over.
Absolutely.
Good outcome, I'll be there.
There you go.
So, excellent. All right, Joe, thank you so much, Criminal Minds, CBS.
Another episode of The Simpsons in their 20th year, Mr. Joe Mantegna in his 18th as Fat Tony.
That's it, I'll have Fat Tony say goodbye to you. Wait, hold on, Tony, are you here?
Yeah, how are you? Nice to be on your show. I like pets, dogs, cats, whatever.
All right, Tony, give me the phone. There you go. Boy, I can't stop
I'm stalking you. I am so stalking you. You should not have done that. I am so stalking you.
There you go. So I just can't get rid of them sometimes.
Joe, thank you so much. We love you. We'll see you soon, and thanks for being on, and maybe we'll have you as a guest in the future, too.
My pleasure. Take care, you guys.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Woo! Joe Mantegna.
Gracious, lovely, wonderful, great stories. I'm so
wait, we're giving him a standing ovation right now.
Woo!
See, and this is what I deal with on a daily basis in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just been a great experience for me for what I do. And again, Deborah, like I had explained to you a long time ago, it's like I get to do this and I love what I do, but I also get to tie in really good animal issues.
Yes.
You know, because, you know, there it is again. Joe shows up and he is there for, you know, my events and for charities, for animals. For Last Chance for Animals was the last one that he hosted. We were doing a fundraiser for that. And he graciously took his time and came and supported the animals. So.
And, you know, now that we've got, you know, two new markets. Hi, Boston.
Hi, Boston.
And definitely Robin. In Rhode Island. You know, a lot of them have this idea that Hollywood has just these elitist actors who are celebrities and international stars that might be snooty and in the lap of luxury and opulence, and they pay no attention to the regular people. It really does show you every week that on a show like this and what Hollywood is, we're representing the best of who we are as human beings, the best of who we are as companion, towards our companion animals, and the best of who we are as really wonderful sentient beings towards other human beings.
And
it's
you know
great.
What? Let's not forget next week we have the talented Steve Valentine.
Yes. Give a hand.
Steve Valentine. Okay, so we want to close this show this week. Another great show, by the way, with a little ditty. And we'll do a little wrap-up ditty. So here we go. We make it cut off, but if we get it, we'll get it in. Here we go.
All right, here we go.
Okay. We had our show. But it's time to go now.
It's time to go now.
A real good show.
But we
have to go now.
It's time to go now.
For sure we'll be here next week.
And we know it's gonna be sweet.
Come on, Chris.
Our guest was Joe Mantegna. And we talked
about his pets.
Big Joe Mantegna.
Fat Tony,
Chooch, Roxy, and his cats. You can catch Joe every week on Criminal Minds on CBS.
CBS, CBS.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Another guest, Steve Valentine.
Steve Valentine, yeah.
So for now, we gotta go on All Pets Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.